you're driving down the open highway and you see a man with his thumb out looking for a ride, are you going to stop? If you live in a house with your older mother who is quite, like, verbally abusive towards you, would you befriend a pack of rats? Well, today we have The Hitcher versus Willard. Let's talk about it. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the show. Thank you for watching. Thank you for being here. If you're watching this on YouTube, like the video, share it with your friends, subscribe to the channel, hit the notification bell so you don't miss a single video. If you're listening to this on your favorite podcast app, leave us a review, leave us a rating, get in touch with us, let us know what you like about the show, dislike, what can we be doing better. This is an interesting matchup. We have The Hitcher from 2007 versus Willard from 2003. And this is an interesting matchup because this is a movie that's largely... Are either of them horror movies? I suppose they both are, technically. These are probably more would fall into, like, the thriller category. At least, like, The Hitcher. Willard could just be, like, a weird, offbeat drama. But both of these movies are anchored by two, like, really, really strong performances. You have Sean Bean in The Hitcher. And you have Willard, played by Crispin Glover. And both of these people give, like, super strong performances. They are both the reason to seek out these movies. And so it's interesting to kind of, like, put them against each other and kind of see which one shines. And so let's start with Willard. Willard is from 2003. It's directed by Glenn Morgan and written by him. And Glenn Morgan has another movie in this tournament that we will be talking about, which is the Black Christmas remake. He is also... credited as, like, he has had some, like, writing credits, some co-writing credits on a lot of X-Files episodes, and so he does this movie, and this is a remake of a movie from the 70s, and it follows a lot of the same kind of basic plot structure. It's about a man who is, like, a recluse. He doesn't really have any friends. He works at an office that his father started, but his father has committed suicide and he still works there. His mother is at home. She's kind of, like, in bed, sick all the time, and she's very verbally abusive towards him and just says a lot of, like, really awful things. And one day he discovers and befriends this white rat named Socrates, and he kind of considers Socrates his only friend. And there is a man that Willard works for. His name is Martin, and he's played by Arlie Emery in this, who gives a fantastic supporting performance here, like he does in a lot of these movies, like these early horror remakes that he's popping up in here and there. Gives a great performance, and this man just kind of, like, terrorizes him. And eventually, you know, the rats keep coming around, and he realizes that he can kind of, like, give them commands and they will carry out certain actions and they will listen to him, and probably because he's genuinely nice to them and treats them well. And he then starts to kind of use this in a retaliation against Martin. And so that's kind of, like, where the movie goes. And it does have, like, it doesn't have many, like, key differences from the original. Like, it does kind of stick to that pretty closely. I would just say that, like, it just features a much better central performance from Crispin Glover. I do think all of the rat stuff is just super creepy, and it's just because I don't like mice and I don't like rats. So this movie is really effective if you're someone who's, like, not that interested in this stuff. Like, if you do not like mice or rats, like, this movie is going to get under your skin, because there's just points where they're everywhere. They're just crawling around. He, like, hangs out with one that, like, crawls into his shirt sleeve, and I'm just like, God, I hate that. I do not like that. But I do love this idea of him being able to, like, control rats and, like, the rats, like, listening to him and being able to do all these things for him that he couldn't do. And it eventually leads to him killing his boss, which I think is just, we'll get there in the categories, but I just think it's, like, a really great idea for a scene, is a really good scene. And so it's a very, like, simple movie. It's, like, there's not much to discuss with it other than just it has this great performance and it's just a really creepy idea if you don't like mice and rats. And so let's move on to talk about The Hitcher. And The Hitcher came out in 2007, and this is directed by Dave Myers. It's produced by Michael Bay. This is another Platinum Dunes production, so he has his hands all over this, which we will talk about, because that makes a whole lot of sense. And this one stars Sean Bean and Sophia Bush, who is kind of like hot off the trails of like One Tree Hill and a show like that. So she's kind of big at this time. And this movie is about this couple who's going on a road trip, and they're supposed to drive across New Mexico to meet their friends for spring break. And it's a girl and her boyfriend. And one night they're driving and it's like pouring rain, and they see a hitchhiker on the side of the road. He like approaches and asks for a ride, but she kind of like insists that someone else will stop and pick him up. So they take off and they don't pick him up. And then they get to this gas station, and the man that they didn't pick up also shows up. And like at this point now, he kind of like, he feels bad. He feels like, oh, I shouldn't have stopped. I should have just given him a ride. So now they agree to give him a ride. And this kind of just ensues this kind of cat and mouse chase throughout the entire movie, in which, you know, Sean Bean is going to continually chasing these two kids, like trying to kill them or like just trying to terrorize them. It's kind of unclear what his goal is, if he wants to kill them or if he just wants to terrorize them. There's a point in which they are driving around and he states like the only way for this, for you to save them both is like for, or he's talking to the boyfriend basically. It's like the only way to save both of you is to say to me, I want to die. And so it's seemingly like all of the fun for him is coming from just this sadistic kind of back and forth game that he's playing with them. And this really does feel more like the thrill of the chase. And I think, you know, this was a big movie when I was a kid. You know, Sean Bean was a guy that I loved from Lord of the Rings. Like, I saw Lord of the Rings when I was young, and I was like, from Lord of the Rings? Yeah, I want to watch that. And I remember watching this movie and just like being really scared of it and terrified. And so it was a big deal when I was younger. Like, I would watch this movie like over and over again because I loved Sean Bean. And, you know, I do think he's the saving grace of the movie, but this movie feels like two movies kind of split in half. And like the first half of this movie feels completely different from the second half of this movie, in which, you know, the first half is like really dark and creepy, and you have the Sean Bean character who is like terrorizing them, and like then they end up kicking him out of the car, and he ends up in this family's like station wagon, and they like come across station wagon, like the family is dead, and like there's a lot of like really creepy stuff happening, and then kind of out of nowhere, it turns into like an action movie in which Sean Bean is like flipping cars and is going into, you know, like police stations and like killing everybody. Like, it becomes like a weird like Steven Seagal movie at some point. Like, and I think that is when the movie loses me. Like, that's when I do not care. And it's like, what the actual fuck is happening in this? And that clearly to me is like the Michael Bay production company side of all of this. That is so clearly Michael Bay's influence on this movie. Is like, this is 2007, so this would be like the year he does Transformers. And this would be like, oh my God, you know what would be awesome in this? Like, what if we flip that car? What if there's an explosion? What if you are just killing cops left and right? And then like the sheriff has to get involved, and we have helicopters flying everywhere and in pursuit. And it's like, this movie doesn't need that, you know? The other interesting thing about these two movies is how they do follow their original, like, respective films very closely. And so other than, like, the big explosions and action movie-esque stuff, which is where the 2007 version of The Hitcher starts to kind of vary from where the original goes, they do, like, they follow it quite closely. And I think that that's where the movie kind of goes off the rails. I do wish it had stayed this kind of, like, very, you know, it's just like lower budgeted, doesn't need big explosives or action sequences, you know, because this movie cost $10 million and made $25.5 million. So like it probably made some money, but not a ton. This movie was not really a hit. I think it's because a lot of people like don't have much reverence for either of these original movies. I don't think either of those movies were super profitable. Yeah, like Willard made less than $10 million. So like nobody really cared about that. People didn't seem to care about this. And I think it's just because, like, these movies like, are cult movies. And when you're trying to remake cult movies, like, your options are going to be, like, super limited. And, like, in terms of who is actually excited, interested in them. And so, the original film, which I'm not that big of a fan of either for The Hitcher, like, it maintains this kind of, it's man chasing these people, like, throughout the whole thing. And then we get to the ending. And it's like, it doesn't feel the need to involve all of these other extra things like this one does. And I wish that they had kind of stuck more to that structure. I don't like having to include, like, all the sheriff's department and all these police officers. Like, to me, that's where the movie fails. And I don't like any of that stuff. And I think it would be a lot better, because, you know, we have a bit of a role reversal here. We do have, like, Sophia Bush kind of taking the lead and is, like, is the lead in this movie. Whereas in the original film, you have Jennifer Jason Leigh, who's kind of just tagging along with C. Thomas Howell. And so I like Sophia Bush becoming the protagonist. Like, I think that stuff works. But I don't like where it goes. And I think that if this just stayed a very small, contained, like, he's chasing her for just kind of, like, the thrill of the chase, you know, like the Joker says in The Dark Knight, where, like, he's just chasing a car, he wouldn't really know what to do if he caught it. I think that idea in itself is, like, terrifying and fascinating. It would make a really good movie. I don't need all of, like, the explosions and the visual effects and, like, shootouts and, like, I don't care. But now, let's move into the categories. As always, the first award that we hand out is for best scene. And there's a couple options here. So we have a scene in Willard where Willard brings his pet rat Socrates to the office, and Arlie Emery finds him and is chasing this rat around, like, trying to kill it. And Willard is just, like, in disgust that, like, this is happening. And so I think that is a really good scene. We have a scene where, like, there's a woman who's, like, trying to, like, console him after his mother dies. And they're like, oh, well, you know, I brought you this cat, so you're not lonely. And that in itself has, like, this, like, kind of weird comedic juxtaposition where it's like, well, he lives in a house full of rats, we can't have a cat around because he'll start killing them. And then we have this weird, like, dark moment after that where, like, the rats kind of, like, overtake the cat and kill the cat, which is kind of, like, dark and just, like, really just, like, oh, yeah, I wasn't really expecting you to go there. And then you have this scene where Sean Bean first gets into the car with Sophia Bush and her boyfriend and is kind of, like, doing his whole spiel and is kind of telling them, like, hey, like, pulls out the knife and, like, is threatening them. And, like, he's like, I want you to tell me that you want to die. And he's going through all that. And this is really, really terrifying scene. It's really sinister. Sean Bean is doing a phenomenal job here in this performance. And so the winner,
and the Oscar goes to,
is The Hitcher for that scene. It is such a great scene.
All you have to say is four little words. I want to die.
It's probably the best scene in that movie. It's the best scene in probably both of these movies. And just, there's another really, really good scene. But again, we have to save that when we get to another category. And now we're moving on to best acting. Which in these movies do we have the best performance? This is tough. I think there's four genuinely good performances in these movies. Sean Bean, Sophia Bush, Crispin Glover, and Arlie Emery. I think all of them could be considered. I think that this is, like, such a good performance category for these two movies. Like, I don't think this movie is as good without Arlie Emery. I don't think this movie is as good without Sophia Bush. And, like, so yeah, this is just a really strong acting category. But I think the winner is,
and the Oscar goes to,
Crispin Glover as Willard. Because I think, as much as I love Sean Bean, he's not doing anything much differently than, like, Rutger Hauer was doing. And Rutger Hauer arguably is probably better. I do think there's some other people besides Sean Bean that could play this role and, like, would be good. But I don't think that anybody else could play the role of Willard as well as Crispin Glover does. And I know that, like, Crispin Glover has kind of been typecast as this weirdo, and he kind of always plays these kinds of weirdos. And, you know, I think he does it so well in this movie. Like, the first time I ever saw Crispin Glover was in Charlie's Angels. And it's when he is like, he like is chasing them around. He's like a henchman. And he like chases them around and like wants to like cut off their hair, like smell their hair. And I remember being like really creeped out by that. Just being like, what the hell are you doing? And that always has stuck with me to this day. So seeing Crispin Glover, like, as this man who is friends with a bunch of rats, like, I see that. I'm like, yeah, that's pretty on brand for Crispin Glover. And so I don't think this movie is as strong without him. And I think if you watch that original movie, I believe it came out in, like, 1971. I think that that guy, the lead actor in that movie, is fine. I think he does great. But I think Crispin Glover just really elevates this to a whole new level. And I think the other one, like, it's kind of silly at times with a man, like, talking to rats in his kitchen. But I think Crispin Glover, like, not only gives a great performance, but he's able, with his performance, to really just sell you on this idea, on this concept of, like, a man befriending a horde of rats. And you'd be like, oh, yeah, like, I could definitely see that happening here. Moving on to the Eye Roll Award. This is the award we give out to the best writing. The movie that makes me roll my eyes the least amount of times is the winner. And, you know, this was a pretty clear winner for me. This is for Willard. Yeah, there's nothing really in this movie that makes me be like, what the hell? What are you doing? What the hell is going on? Maybe him bringing his rats to work. That doesn't really make a lot of sense to me, but that's a small thing that can be overlooked. What can't be overlooked is the entire second half of The Hitcher, which we've already talked about. Like, that stuff is so dumb. And I hate it, and I don't think it's necessary. And I think you could have had a really tight, creepy thriller if you didn't try to make it an action movie. And so for that reason, the award goes to Willard for the best writing, the Eye Roll Award. Congratulations, Glenn Morgan, because you will not be receiving this award when we talk about Black Christmas. The next award we have to give out is for Best Kill. And there's two real options here. Two that, like, I think really, really work. And the options are when Willard, after he gets fired from his job, and Martin is kind of like, yeah, go ahead and sue me. Like, you have no money. Like, I know that we have in this contract that I'm not allowed to fire you after your father sold me this company. But, like, go ahead. You know what? Sue me. Like, I don't care. You don't have the money to, so I win. And so Willard is looking for his retaliation. So what does he do? All of his rats go to his house, and they kill him. And they eat him alive. I don't know if that's true. But when it's described his death, the characters are like, oh, it looks like he was mauled by an animal. So I love that. I think that is a great idea. Honestly, I wish there was more stuff like that within this movie. There's like long stretches of movie where this is kind of just like a character study of Willard and of his like relationship with these rats. And I feel like for like a horror movie, the stuff that's the most interesting is like what he chooses to do with the rats. And I wish there was kind of like more rat stuff, I guess. We do have stuff with him like chewing the tires of the boss's Mercedes, and I guess that's kind of cool. That's a cool idea, but more killing with these rats, I think, would have been much needed, added to this movie. And then, obviously, the other option we have is the big scene from The Hitcher, from both the remake and the original. The thing that you remember about this movie, the thing that everybody remembers about this movie is, well, in the original, it's the girlfriend, but in this one, it's the boyfriend who is attached to two trucks. And Sean Bean is going to drive forward and rip the boyfriend in half. And he does it. And it's like a really gruesome death. And it's between these two. And I think that I'm going to have to give the winner to...
And the Oscar goes to...
Willard. I think that the death by rats, it's a very interesting idea. It's a very original idea. I also really like what happens after that. Where, like, because... like, when the girl comes over to, like, to talk to him and like console him after being fired, and she's kind of the only woman that's like being nice to him, the only person really that's being nice to him. And then she sees the rats, and then she kind of like pieces together like Willard's involvement in the death of their boss. I think all that stuff works really, really well, and I like all that stuff. And so I'm going to give it to Willard. And I also think the death from The Hitcher, while it is a great idea and a great concept of like pulling it apart, it's also done in the original. It's like done the exact same way. not really changing much about it. So, you know what? For those reasons, Willard gets the award for Best Kill. And then we move on to Best Villain. This was a tricky one, because I'm not really certain Willard has a villain. And I guess you could say it's Arlie Emery. And I would say you're probably right. I mean, like, Willard is not a villain. And if anything, he's just kind of like someone who is misunderstood. So it wouldn't really make sense to give him the award. The rats aren't the villain, you know? They're not doing anything other than what Willard is telling them to. In the original movie, like, there's a different dynamic between the rats where, like, there's Socrates and then there's Ben, who are, like, the two main rats. And these rats kind of have, like, different ideas of what Willard should be doing. And Ben, like, gets really mad at Willard after Socrates is killed in the office. Like, basically, like, blames him for it. And, like, none of that's really in this remake. And I think if that were the case, if they did choose to include that, we could maybe start to say that one of the rats, like, is a villain. But I think even if we did include the rats as a villain, we would have to give this to the Hitcher. We would have to give this to Sean Bean as John Ryder, if that even is his name. He could just be the hitchhiker, you know? And he's so menacing. He does such a great job. Even when the movie, like, goes off the rails and it becomes this weird action movie, he is still really good. And there is just something menacing and terrifying about a man who is in handcuffs and, like, breaks his wrists to get out. And, like, that has always been something that has stuck with me from this movie. And so, for those reasons, John Ryder, Sean Bean, the Hitcher, you are the best villain. And now for the Breath of Fresh Air Award. Which one of these movies breathed fresh life into this franchise, into this remake, brought the most to the table, reinvigorated our interest in these movies? That's tough, you know? Like, there's really no way that you could continue The Hitcher. There is a sequel to that original movie. But there's no way that you could have a sequel to this one, because, like, she shoots him and he dies. And so, like, I mean, that would kind of be it. And the way that Willard ends is interesting, which is why the winner for the Breath of Fresh Air Award is Willard. I do think that, like, The Hitcher is updated and, like, they tried to do something different with this movie. And I just don't like what they ended up doing. So Willard wins the award because at the end of Willard, we have this kind of, like, he's in an insane asylum and, like, he, like, has, like, a white rat and, like, he begins talking to it and he's playing as if he's somewhat catatonic or whatever. And then when he sees the rat, he, like, kind of, like, snaps out of it and, like, seemingly is beginning to plan his escape. So I do think we could have another Willard movie. We could have either, like, him in there, like, trying to escape, or it could take place, like, immediately after he escapes. It's kind of like, well, what does he do next? And he, like, maybe befriends some new rats. I don't know. Again, this isn't, like, the strongest contenders for this award, but we have to give it to somebody. So I think in terms of who does the best at updating it, what am I the most excited to see more of if it were to be the case, I would have to say it's Willard. I think Willard does a very good job of updating it, and I would be interested to see what comes next in that story. So, Willard, Breath of Fresh Air. And for our final category, which of these movies am I most likely to watch again? I would like to say that I'm done with The Hitcher, that I will never see it again. That's probably not true. It's probably at some point in time I'll see it. But which one would I be the most willing to rewatch? And that would be Willard. Again, great performance. Love the rat stuff, even though it really creeps me out. Just all around, like, I think it's a much more well-rounded, I think it's a much better movie. So Willard is not only the movie that I would watch again, it is the winner of this matchup. Anyways, that is all I have for today. Thank you for watching. Thank you for being here. Let me know down in the comments below what you think of these movies, what you think of these matchups. What did you pick to win in these categories? Which one of these movies do you think is the better? Let us know. We can continue the conversation down there. If you're listening to this on a podcast app, leave us a review, a rating, get in touch with us. Let us know what you thought of the show. And until next time, keep watching good movies. Keep enjoying the things you love. Stay safe out there. Goodbye, everybody.